Cool. Good morning, church. It's great to. We were also before last week. We were away for 2 weeks, and it's a wonderful thing. Joy, like when you haven't seen someone for a while, and you come back and you see them. There's this thing inside of you, and I'm like, yo, I've missed my family, and it's really great to be able to share with you this morning. And we started off on a short mini-series last week with Sorrel. So diligently and so beautifully started to unpack the theology of evangelism for us and asking questions like, why did Jesus come to earth? Why was it important that he came? What was the Great Commission? And why is God sending us? And I must be honest, I'm going to do this now because I don't know if I'm going to get through the whole preach today. Thanks. As I was prepping this week, that as I sat in his word, just searching God's heart, listening to what other preachers have had to say on evangelism, God has been convicting and arresting my heart. I double skipped there, sorry. And I need to be honest that even in the intention today through what I share, and my prayer this week has been that the Holy Spirit will move in our hearts today to reveal his heart. As we encounter what Jesus has done, the overwhelming love and life that we find in him, may he move our hearts to share the good news with others. And so my question today is, have you lost something of the awe of God's heart for the lost? Let us read in Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. See, Paul wasn't just excited about doctrine. He was overwhelmed by what Jesus had done for him. And as an illustration, like, have you ever watched somebody or listened to somebody who's had a near-death experience? Yeah, quick show of hands. Hopefully you haven't had one yourself. Maybe you have. They don't just casually spend the rest of their lives, oh, I almost died one day. No, there's something in them that changes. Because when you are rescued, something changes you. And the greater the rescue, the greater the gratitude. And the gospel is the greatest rescue story ever told. And the honor that Paul is speaking about of sharing the good news is born of what God has done in my own life first. The gospel is a me thing before it's a them thing. And I'm going to unpack that a little bit. And so I want to ask you, do you remember how undeserving you were? Do you remember how God saved you? Do you remember his love for you? Or have we lost all of it? And as a little bit of a confession, at the start of the week as I was prepping, we took to Graafrenet, our lecture, our third year class, we went to Graafrenet for the week. And I've been sitting with the Lord, and on the way back I was listening to a preach about evangelism. And I was convicted. I sat at the front of the bus. Luckily I had a hoodie on and nobody could see me. And tears were running down my face. as I realized I'd been guilty. That I had begun to lose the awe and wonder of God's grace for me. The salvation that He freely gave to me. The way He loved me. And I was not guilty of sin, but of missing the mark. I'm not living in rebellion. I mean, we serve in the church, attend church every Sunday. I tithe, I even lead. But I'd become comfortable with my walk with Jesus. And yet God showed me that I drifted from something very dear to His heart. You see, the gospel is not merely a message we proclaim. The gospel is first the message of what happened to us. The story of how we met the King of Kings. In Ephesians 3, from 7 to 8. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of His power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And the NLT, this is from the ESV version, the NLT version actually reads the one part, says, by God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving Him by spreading the good news. And this was Paul's specific calling, but the principle holds true to all of us. The privilege of preaching the gospel does not only belong to the apostles, does not only belong to the evangelist, it belongs to every person who has encountered Him. Because just as the gospel had transformed Paul, it's transformed me, it's transformed you. And so the point is this. Before we become evangelists, we must become worshipers. That as God had convicted me, sometimes we can become comfortable as Christians. We can attend church every Sunday, diligently. Wednesday nights are blocked out for community meetings. We are consistent in the spiritual disciplines of our quiet times and prayer. And these are all great things. But we can be doing Christian activities while slowly losing our awe of salvation. The passion to share the gospel is born from the wonder at the gospel. What Jesus has done for me. Let's read Matthew 28, 18 to 20, the Great Commission. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And we often read this as a command. It is a command. But as I was meditating on the word this week, I began to realize this is the revelation of God's heart. Jesus is about to leave His disciples, not knowing what's before Him, and what is on His heart. What does He instruct them to do? He doesn't say build more buildings. He doesn't say have more programs, have more meetings. He doesn't say become comfortable. People. Lost people he came to save, and disciples he came to make. And when we read this as a revelation of God's heart, do we understand it without living it? What God makes important, we must never assume is someone else's job. Sometimes we think the evangelists will do it, the pastors will do it, the missionaries will do it. Maybe the young, radical, and zealous few will do it. Sharing the good news is for every single one of us. For you and for me. This message Jesus gave to every believer. And Paul continues in Romans 10 from 14 to 15. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him in whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? How will people ever hear the good news of what happened in your life unless someone tells them? So, as an illustration, I mean, we live by the coast, and most of us, quick show of hands, NSRI, National Sea Rescue Institute. You ever seen those boats going out in the ocean? So, the NSRI launches boats into rough seas all the time, generally when there's big storms and people need rescuing. And as people are drifting further and further away from the shore, every minute matters. You don't see the NSRI guys standing on the beach saying, we will go tomorrow. Or looking around and saying, maybe somebody else will go. Because people understand that rescue has urgency. And the gospel is the greatest rescue message ever to go out. And every day, people are drifting further and further away from God. And unfortunately, unlike a drowning man, many people don't even realize they need saving. That is why we must go. How will some strand hear unless someone tells them? How will your work and your varsity colleagues hear unless somebody tells them? How will your family hear unless somebody tells them? How will your neighbors hear unless somebody tells them? If the gospel is burning inside of you, remembering how undeserving you were and knowing what Jesus has done for you, how he has set you free, who will tell them? The same Jesus that transformed your life wants to transform theirs. But the good news is only the good news if it gets there on time. So how do you keep God's heart for the lost from becoming not just another duty, or a list, or something I have to do? And Jesus gives us the answer. If we look at John 15, verse 9 to 10. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept the Father's commandments and abide in his love. You see, the closer we get to Jesus, the more we discover what his heart is, what matters to him. And the closer we get to Jesus, the more we encounter him, the more we understand his heart is for people. While we were at Graaf Reinet, now at the beginning of the week, if you've been to Graaf Reinet, you know it can get quite chilly in the evenings. So the one evening we made a big bonfire and we stacked some logs around the base of the fire, not in the fire. And after a while, the fire going, the logs at the bottom started to ignite and catch a light. They became warm because of proximity. And it is the same with love. We don't manufacture love for people. We abide in Christ, and his love starts to warm our hearts. And in this place, you start to realize it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about him. So my challenge to you today, as God has been convicting my heart this week, is your Christian life becoming comfortable? Or are we still carrying his heart for the lost? And as you begin to understand God's heart, you start to realize that God has placed you exactly where you need to be for a reason. Not by accident, not randomly, even if you're sitting here this morning, it's not by chance. And not because nobody else was available. But God has placed you there. For the people in your life, the people in your street, the people in your classroom, the people in your office, for your family, for the person at school who might be a little bit awkward to be around, the person in the staff room who sits there eating their lunch by themselves, for the neighbor whose name nobody knows. And as God doesn't need us, but he chooses to work through us, do you realize you may be the only Christian encounter that person may have? You may be the only person praying for that person. You may be the only one willing to tell them about Jesus. And it's not because you're impressive. I'm definitely not impressive. It's because you're there. And as we abide in Christ, something begins to change. We begin praying differently. We begin seeing people differently. We begin loving differently. And if I'm honest, this is where things can become a little bit uncomfortable. Because when I start praying specifically for people by name, in faith, according to God's will, suddenly things start to change. And this theory of evangelism starts to become personal. And when we pray generally, I don't know, I found, Lord, bless the lost, I often feel very little responsibility. But when I start praying, Lord, save John. Lord, will you draw Tabu near? Lord, will you reach Michelle? Nobody specific in the congregation, by the way. Suddenly, those prayers have faces. And where God begins to move, he starts to invite us. And all of a sudden, I have a responsibility. And for me, that's the uncomfortable part, because all of a sudden, he's calling me to take a step in faith. That it's not about me, it's not what I can do. It's what he is doing and what he has done. And when God begins to move and we find that place of I have a responsibility, it's not out of guilt, it's not out of duty, but because He loves me. Because I know His love and His love flows through me. John 15:12 says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." While Jesus is speaking specifically about loving fellow believers, His entire ministry demonstrates that God's love continually moves towards those who are far from Him. It was Jesus' love that stopped Him to speak to the blind beggar. It was His love that caused Him to speak to the woman at the well. It was His love that caused Him to touch the leper. It was His love that caused Him to raise the widow's son. See, love always moves towards people. And what does loving your neighbor actually look like? Let's read in Luke 10 from verse 27. As a lawyer tries to test Jesus. First he asks, what shall he do to inherit life? And Jesus answers, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And then he asks, "But who is my neighbor?" And Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan. And we're all very familiar with the story. The Good Samaritan crossed the road. The Good Samaritan interrupted his journey. He inconvenienced himself as he walked towards somebody in need. See, love does not walk past people. Love moves towards them. And love must move us to feed the hungry. Love must move us to care for those in need. Love must move compassion in us for those that are brokenhearted. But we must not stop there. Meeting someone's needs may be the entry point, but it isn't the destination. Because the same grace that rescued you is available to rescue them. The greatest act of love is introducing someone to Jesus. To love the world is to bring it the gospel. And why? Because the gospel works. And that is why we must be bold in sharing the gospel. Because salvation is not our work. It is God's work. Romans 1, verse 16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." Don't know if it came up, sorry. The power is not us. The power is not in my eloquence. The power is not in me having all the answers. The power is the gospel itself. And what is the gospel? In 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us, "For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." See, Christ took our place, he bore our sin, he carried our guilt, he paid our debt. And John 14:6 reminds us, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is the only way to the Father. Can I get an amen? Amen. Sounding like it's getting a little bit heavy. Lift it up. And the gospel is simple. It's wonderful news that we were all sinners, separated from God, unable to save ourselves. But God, in His love, sent His Son to do that which we could not do. That Jesus died in our place. He rose again. And he reconciled us to God. And that is why the gospel works. Because Jesus saves. And because Jesus saves, there is still hope for your neighbor. Because Jesus saves, there is still hope for your colleagues at varsity and at school. Because Jesus saves, there's still hope for your friends. Because Jesus saves, there's still hope for your family. And when we truly believe that Jesus came to save us, we must also embrace the commission that he gave us to take the good news to others. So in closing, I hope that the preaching hasn't come across heavy. It's also like things I think I've been processing this week. And the intention and the heart of it is not go do more. As I was sharing earlier, how God had been convicting me of being guilty. Guilty of drifting away from the awe and wonder of how Jesus saved me. That is the good news of salvation. And my prayer for today is that if we have drifted, that God would restore the wonder of the gospel in us. Because the passion to share the gospel is born from the wonder at the gospel. And what the Lord considers precious, we would not leave to become somebody else's responsibility. There is an urgency in salvation. You are here for a reason. And you are the mouthpiece that God wants to use to those people around you. Vat my baadjie. As an illustration. There's an empty chair in front of you all today. That chair represents somebody in your life. Not a stranger, not a statistic, somebody that you know. Who is it? Can you see their face? Because we have been given a mission. We have the message. We have the mandate. We have the good news. And it's only good news if it gets there on time. And the challenge today is that as we hear God's heart, and I'm going to make a call just now, but we need to take action. I believe God is, as much as I'm trying to bring it across lightly. Where's John? Has he disappeared? If you just be ready. Just even I think in what God's wanting to share and wanting to do in us today is that just as I put the chair out as a demonstration that he's calling us to action. You have the good news. Will you allow him to rework in your heart the awe of what he has done for you? And will you sit in that place of knowing his love and his heart for the lost, for those around you who don't know him? And will you put up your hand today and say, Lord, use me. And the challenge is that I want us to pray for them in faith. Like I said, I think praying for the lost is good. But when we pray specifically, there's a step of faith that comes into our prayer, into our action. And for me, that's always like, I feel very nervous when I pray about specifics. Because I know who God is. I know the heart of God, and I know God is going to move. And so when I start praying for people, I've got to be like, Lord, give me that boldness to step out and obedience to step out when you make that opportunity.